All right, now we record. Now we record. Yeah. So as you were saying about the ancestors.
Yeah, trust them. They know.
You gotta trust the ancestors. Like when they're speaking through you, you just gotta like I oblige. And,
it's like I heard you loud and clear. I got you.
Because you know. They're up in they know what it's like to be up in these streets, ashy as hell.
I just want to tell you how I appreciate how you pour your cup from under the table.
Well, you know, we don't officially have the endorsement from Henny just yet. You know, we still working on that. Henny, y'all gotta holler at
a player. I appreciate that, really. You know,
but that's what it is.
So. Okay, I appreciate it.
But
right.
Since we're recording, we just gotta start. So, welcome everyone to Henny with Kenny. I'm Kenny. This is my Henny. But I got my sister, though. I got my sister. Her eyebrows on fleek.
Yes.
Lotion. This is the melanin edition of Henny with Kenny. So don't adjust your, like, wow.
Let it happen. Let it bless you.
Darkness is spreading. Rick James.
I can't.
So, you know, this is how it's going to go tonight. So I got my sister Imani here. Mm-hmm. Say hi to the people.
Hey, people.
And welcome to Henny with Kenny.
Thank you.
I am so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
If you've never heard the show before, you know, we get into it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But okay. One of the main things, I'm missing my co-host tonight, Cynthia. Okay. So shout out to Sin.
Hey, girl.
But one thing I told Sin, especially after maybe the first 10 episodes. Okay. I was like, I gotta get some women on this show.
Okay.
But I was like, if I get women on this show, they're gonna be strong women.
Okay.
You know, so you are in good company.
Okay.
With some queens, some boss
okay.
bitches.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
bitches in the nicest way possible.
Okay.
You know, because sometimes you gotta be a bitch to motherfuckers to get shit done.
Oh, so we could curse.
Yeah, oh no.
Okay.
No. Henny with Kenny, as most people know,
is
rated PMF for Pardon My French.
Okay, cool.
So,
cool.
you know, moulez-vous, you know, zoot, comment allez-vous, you know, like there's absolutely no censorship.
Okay.
All opinions are our own, so,
yes.
You know, we can say what we feel.
Okay.
So, on that note, once again, thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having me.
I want you to tell the world and people that are listening right now to this audio recording who you are and what you do.
I am a child of the universe.
Yes.
I am a black woman before I'm anything else. I am a creator. I am a teller of stories. I'm a photographer. And what I recently started getting into was facilitating self-love workshops for black women across the country called Dare Black Women Talk Your Shit. So the first event we had was in Brooklyn, and it was really dope. And then I posted the recap on Instagram, and someone was like, hey, when are you having another one? I'm in D.C., but I want to come up. And I'm like, girl, I'll travel. Like, I'm on a China bus near you. Like, how can we make this happen?
China bus.
Then from there, like, so I'm having an event in Baltimore in
nice.
June.
B-more, what
in
up?
Detroit,
East side, West side.
June 29th.
The D!
I'll be in Atlanta September 14th.
Like, all places I got family. That's crazy.
Working on Houston and Chi-Town.
Okay. Houston,
fall,
I do not
so.
Have family there.
Okay.
Shout out to my little sister, Danny, out there. She's not that little no more. I mean, she married.
She grown.
But, yeah, the Shy, I got love for the Shy.
Me too.
I've never been to Houston, but I want to go to Houston. So,
okay.
Houston, maybe I should do a Henny with Kenny out in Houston.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Get some barbecue, get
okay.
some good. I'm sure I probably know somebody out there, but right now I don't.
All you gotta do is have some Hennessy if you want to show up.
I know, right? That's all you really. That's all you really.
That's
need.
All you really need.
That's all you really need. But yeah, those are all good places,
yeah.
And I'm very interested. You know, the deeper we get into this conversation and learning about this self help, this self love,
okay.
Kind of like circles and these moments,
yeah.
and this energy that you're creating
yeah.
within these moments that you're doing, you know, in and out of the city,
because yeah.
you know you're in New York.
Yeah.
If y'all don't know, we're here in New York. If y'all don't know, y'all can smell that swag. but one thing that we do on the show is that We give a toast because you know it's Hank Kenny. So we give a toast. We give a toast to someone, whether you know that person or whether you don't know that person, but that person is doing something great for the culture, for the people.
Okay, cool.
You know what I mean, and just for the world because you know times are kind of fucked up right now. That's what.
No, you tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Let me pour my libation.
Yeah. So I'll start out while you think of yours, right?
Okay.
So. I want to give a toast to Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. Mm. I really don't know what state she's from, but she just be killing it up there. Okay. And she be slaying these fools with the questions. And they be up there stumbling. So, I mean, she's, I called her like a boss queen today on Twitter because, like, she gave Ben Carson a business yesterday. But every time I see her on TV, just spitting that truth, checking these fools, she brings it every single time. I mean, granted, like a lot of the freshman congresswomen bring it every single time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we've mentioned AOC on the show before and Sister Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and all of them. We mentioned them all on the show before, but Ayanna just had a day yesterday and I was like, man. I love her.
I love it. What did she say specifically?
Well, because the second part is another part that I'll mention later.
Okay.
But that's who's getting a toast. So we're going to toast it to Sister Ayanna.
Clank, clank, clank,
clank, clank, clank, clank. Ah, goes down so nice. Who are you giving a toast to today?
Well, I'm going to give a toast to everyone that's really just working on themselves.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been seeing a wave of just, like, personal development and healing, like, on my timeline, like, within my friends. Like, people who are really trying to, like, break generational curses, communicate better, like, love themselves. Like, because that shit is not an easy process.
No.
Like, it is very ugly. It's very tough. So if you out there just trying to be a better person, like, clank, clank.
Yep, clank, clank. We definitely talked a lot about that, especially like, you know, generational curses and things like that and being defeated.
Yeah.
Definitely on just last night's podcast. It wasn't like 5 weeks ago. It was like last night. We talked a lot about that with my brother, Alex Santiago, down in Florida. He lives in Central Florida, and he's a strategist, copywriter, all these like crazy cool things. But but he had, you know, many trials and tribulations to get to where he is right now, and through like just self love and kind of like, okay, you know, let me fix my shit.
It's so important to have that level of self reflection to say, look, I'm fucked up.
Yeah. I think the stigmatism is that, you know, when people feel that they are, then they're like, well, I guess this. I don't have nothing to offer. I don't have nothing to offer anybody. I don't have anything to offer anybody professionally because just personally, I'm so beaten up and I'm so defeated. You know what I mean? But there has to be a point where you're just like, you know what? I need to get off the ground.
You know what's crazy? Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I looked at myself in the mirror. I've been having a rough week. Like it's just been a series of unfortunate
events. It's going around.
Like, I don't know what's in the moon, but I looked in the mirror and I said,
retrograde.
I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, like, I don't know how to love you. I don't know how to love you.
Wow.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think having that type of honesty with yourself, like, I don't know how to love myself. Like, we're just so used to giving out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we project the love that we want to get in return from other people. But sometimes when we get it, it's not satisfying because that's not really what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And I really looked at myself and I'm like, why am I not happy? Like, I have a great village. I have family that support me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a great relationship, but I'm not happy because I don't know what I need to feed my actual spirit.
Yeah,
because
it's like feeling lonely in a crowded room.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how to love me and that's fine. I'm going to figure it out though. So...
That sucks. I definitely know about feeling lonely in a crowded room. It's a hard feeling, but the thing is, like, only you can get yourself out.
Very true.
You know, only you can get yourself out. And I think when you are fighting literally against yourself, sometimes you don't know, like, because you know what move you're going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, left jab, uppercut, and you're like, geez, like, how do I win? You know, and it takes like just like time out.
And I think with that too, like when you are battling yourself, at least you know you're always going to have another chance to go at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like, because you're stuck with yourself. So it's like, if I don't get it, if I don't get it today, at least when I'm 30, I could try again.
Every
like,
day is a new day up to
exactly.
bat.
Exactly.
Every day is a new day up to bat.
Exactly.
I tell people that all the time. Every day is a new day for you to swing that bat one more time.
Mm-hmm.
So the flip side of the toast is, we always pay homage to the West Coast. Not I'm from the West Coast. I love the West Coast.
Okay.
That's where I want my ashes buried.
Okay.
But Uncle Snoop has a lyric in his 1990, I think it's 1992 hit song, Gin and Juice, called, well, that's the name of the song, Gin and Juice. But he has a line in there that says, all these N-words, bro, they cut but didn't chip in. So this is the point where we talk about people who are straight trash.
Okay.
Because they are not bringing anything positive to the culture. They're not bringing anything positive to the world. They're not bringing anything positive to humankind, period.
Okay.
So this is when they don't get a toast.
Okay.
But we let them know that they are trash.
Okay.
So the flip side of my, because this is obviously the flip side of the toast,
yeah.
but it goes to who Sister Ayanna, Congresswoman Sister Ayanna Pressley was talking to yesterday, was this stupid-ass motherfucker, Ben Carson. I mean, how many times do you have to be de-invited to the motherfucking barbecue, my dude? Like, how many times? And you know what? You could learn something from Imani because you need some fucking lotion on that dry-ass face. Like,
he said his face was dry.
Ben Carson?
Dang.
He showed out yesterday.
Was it something with Oreos?
No, that was with the white congresswoman.
Okay,
And she's going to get a toast, like, on another podcast.
Okay.
I almost gave her one today, but Ayanna,
she did
some stuff today, even though the Oreo thing went more viral than Ayanna's, like, clip.
Okay.
But let me tell you something. He was never answering any of her questions, so she had to reclaim her time. You know, he said, I'm reclaiming my time. She was like, you can't do that. I asked the questions. He said, I'm reclaiming my time. You got nerve, dude. So Ben Carson, no toast.
No toast, bro.
No toast, bro, because before you got into politics, your legacy was amazing.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy.
But you will be known for this shit. You will be known as a puppet, as this person that has, I mean, one, you're like a PhD, like you separate, I think he didn't he separate conjoined twins, something like that? Something he did in the medical field.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's separating the brains or separating them by the body, but you went into work in Department of Housing.
You don't know nothing about.
You know nothing about, because he was a rich dude as it was. Because Sister Ayanna asked him, would you care if your mother lived in the poor conditions that public housing has? He could not answer the question. Just say no. Nobody wants their mama living like that.
Nobody.
He couldn't answer the question. Instead, he was being a wise ass. And then he said, reclaiming my time. Auntie Maxine was like, no, you don't get to say that. So Ben Carson, like, dude, like, just disappear. Fade away. You know, like, don't make me call Thanos up in here. And because, like, I can't with him anymore.
Because, nah,
like, anytime he's on television, he figures out a way to embarrass himself and continue. Like, no one will remember what kind of doctor he was. No one will remember.
Wasn't it, I don't know if this was like fake news, but wasn't it something when he was talking about how he doesn't recall running for president?
Oh, maybe that was fake news. I don't know.
Oh, poor baby.
But I would believe that too if he said something like that, because, like, it's like, where did you get your degree from? I'm pretty sure you got a degree from, like, a great university.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure that university is probably like, did we check all his tests?
Like, who is his teacher?
Who is his teacher? Are they still alive? You know, so, because, I mean, and the crazy thing that over the last, like, 2.5 years, there's been some shady stuff he's done, like buying expensive furniture, all this other dumb stuff. His son has been into some shady stuff. His wife has been into some shady stuff. So, but, like, just his dumbfounded answers and disrespect, because I personally felt like he disrespected Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, you wouldn't do that to a white man, a white congressman. He wouldn't act that way.
Yeah.
He probably would have been buttoned up.
Yeah.
I mean, he still would have been dumb, but like, he would have been buttoned up dumb, if that, I don't even know if that kind of exists. But, but he wouldn't have had that blatant disrespect.
No, I agree.
For that black woman or any woman that's up there. And literally, he showed so much disrespect that he needs, I personally feel like she's on an apology.
Yeah.
You know? I agree. Yeah, she was giving you hardball questions because you deserve it. The public housing situation across America sucks.
Yeah, it does. Like, I'm a chocolate girl from the projects, so I know.
So, like, you know, like, this ain't about your PhD and whatever the hell you got it in, because it's not getting you anywhere, and you were put there as a puppet in the first place because it wasn't that you were qualified.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, no toast to that dude. Who you not giving a toast to today? Because we could talk about Ben Carson the entire podcast.
I feel like this might be a little problematic.
No, it's not problematic.
So this has been really sitting on my chest.
Yep.
And I'm guilty of it. Maybe I don't need to take this sip. But I'm really getting tired of people who are like, I'm about the movement, I'm for the movement, but it's selective. There was a black trans woman who got murdered. And in my mind, you know, I interviewed a woman who was trans, and she was saying that, you know, every day she leaves her house, she's in fear.
Yeah.
And she was saying how the average, like, the lifespan of a black trans woman is 33. And she's like, at this point, I'm just happy to be alive. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like if we're going to be a community, if we're going to be a people, if we're going to march together and we're going to say Black Lives Matter, like, let's talk about that. Even if it's just like, I don't agree with it. Like, if you can't connect on that level, connect on a level that's a human life.
It's still a human
life.
That's
someone who didn't get to go home.
Yep.
You know, because of hate.
Someone's sister.
That's someone's sister. That's someone's cousin. That's someone's best friend.
Uncle.
Someone's partner.
Someone's partner.
That didn't get to go home because of hate. And I just feel like anyone who is just about the movement for show, but you really not trying to be about your people, you don't get to sit.
No.
You don't get to come to the table.
No.
Keep your potato salad in your fridge. You're not at the barbecue.
You ain't keep that Crown Royale in the motherfucking
bag.
We on this Henny, son.
Keep the Amsterdam under your bed. Like, I don't drink no more, y'all. I know I'm sipping this cup, but it's water.
It's water.
But Amsterdam used to be my shit. Anyway, like.
I got to even find out. I got to look up what Amsterdam is.
Okay. Like, it's affordable good. Vodka.
Okay, because, you know, I drink nothing but the best.
No, it's affordable vodka.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, anybody's just not down for the people as a whole.
Well, I call that, because I'm the king of one-liners, as you know.
Okay.
But I always say, be about the movement, not the moment.
Come on,
because you have people out there that, and this is not me even shouting out anybody at all.
Yeah.
But there's just people out there, and sometimes they may do it unconsciously. Sometimes I think they're actually doing it consciously. But like, when you're hot, then they're all about what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know.
I agree.
When that heat kind of goes down, the lights go off, the cameras stop flashing, the interviews stop, whatever. Even though you're still in that and you still believe in what you believe in and you're fighting for the equality, whatever the case may be, those hanger-ons, nowhere to be found.
And honestly, that's how I got into the work that I started to do, because sharing a post on Facebook was not enough. Because it was like, I see people share this post, but then you're sharing a meme.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but that person is still dead. Like, that person still committed suicide. There are still young black girls who are killing themselves because of their skin.
Yeah.
Like, there are still people who are struggling and have no home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get off of Facebook and you put your phone down, what are you doing? And I had to, and that was like a conversation that I was echoing back to myself. Like, Imani, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, don't be a social media activist.
Mm-mm.
Like, be out there in real life.
Yeah, be up in these streets.
Doing it. Like, I'm not built for tough to be protesting, but I can find my role in the movement.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's definitely something we're going to talk about later as well. Okay. But we're going to get on the sunny side of things. We already gave toast. We already gave no toast.
Yes, yes.
Definitely, yeah, you know, be about the movement, yes. Not the moment. Because the moment is so short.
Agreed.
The moment is so short, and these problems ain't going nowhere.
Agreed.
So, when did you start Dear Black Women?
I started Dear Black Women last year.
Okay.
So it was originally a photo series that I was just going to release on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I got a bunch of women together that I knew and I admired.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked them questions what it meant to be a black woman. I took pictures of them.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, like, the sisterhood that was in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, one person, I was taking pictures of them, and they weren't confident. Someone would say, yes, queen, yes, brows, come through here. And mind you, these women didn't really know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that love in the room, and I was like, how, this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is healing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my sisters in art, she told me, she was like, yo, make this a pop-up galley event. I was like, boom, I'm gonna do that, but I need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I really just want to have a safe space conversation. And I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, the first event we had was at New Hotel in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some black poets, black female poets to talk about their experience. And we just had a conversation. So the way these events work, I have a box.
Mm-hmm.
You drop whatever you want to say in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just read them out and let everyone discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it takes the pressure away from saying, like, this is what I'm going through, and I just open it up to who can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, so the first event happened in March,
okay.
But the original thought happened last year
okay.
in April.
And so then you launched it in March of this year.
Yeah,
I mean, March is a good month. That's the month my daughter's born. So, you know, I like March. It costs me a lot of money, but it's all good. What did you want to be when you were growing up? When you're a little girl. Yeah.
Jesus. I wanted to be a few things. So my first love was singing.
Okay.
I have a few mixtapes. That was my past life.
All right, SoundCloud.
In my past life.
Okay. MySpace.
In my past life. But I wanted to be a wrestler for a while. Like,
you'd be amazed how many people come on this show and said they want to be a wrestler.
Like, legit.
What would be your wrestler name?
Okay, so I didn't have that down pat, but I knew I wanted to be a WWE diva.
Okay.
And I wanted to kind of be the black version of Lita. To rock like the Hardy Boys and stuff.
Okay.
I wanted to be that until I was like 12, and I was like, all right, girl, you don't get the knees for that. So we not gonna set yourself up for failure.
Jumping off.
Yeah, jumping off stuff, got asthma, like, we're not doing that.
Okay.
But, like, in my college, like, my high school years, I realized that I was always fighting for people. So I was like, I just want to do something for my community.
I mean, and we need more people like you, because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes I feel like people forget that there are people in our community that are fighting for them, or are trying to pave ways, but it's not to be in the history book. So, like,
yes.
You know, like, when Martin and Malcolm and, you know, the list goes on, they weren't doing it because, like, oh, I know I'm going to be in a history book someday, or someone's going to put me on Instagram and saying, you know, they were at my thing. No, they weren't doing it because of that. They were doing it because, you know, once again, to go back to what I was saying, like, 3 minutes ago, times were fucked up then, and they're fucked up now. Did they think they were going to lose their lives because of it? That's the chance that they took.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the chance any of us take that are activists and actionvists, as I call myself sometimes. It's just like, you know, this ain't about the history books. It's just a matter of that, you know what? No one else is doing it. You know, like, people can complain and you can make a hashtag, you know, because you got those people that, you know, like, you retweet the best stuff, but I don't see you up in here, you know. So it's just like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of kind of being in these streets,
yeah.
you know, shaking hands, giving hugs. Because sometimes some people sometimes just want a hug.
They
man.
Just want you to be there.
Yeah. You know, like, people are going through it. You know what I mean? And people don't have those beacons of light to kind of, like, walk in. And then they're like, wow, because the lights were off. You know? And I think that that's so very important that you knew that earlier on. I mean, when I was, you know, I'm a billion years old. So when I was, like, 1 billion, I'm, like, 40 billion years old. But when I was, like, 1 billion years old, like, I remember in high school, like, me being involved in the NAACP. And, like, in high school, I was involved in, like, the black male like kind of group. It was called like M&M's because it's for models and mentors.
Okay.
And you know, like I was like the president. I mean, I had a mentor. He wasn't that great, but but still, like, you know, I ran that for like you know, a year or two. I'm in high school, and that was great. But like, I always knew that. And it was actually from that experience by having a quote unquote bad mentor. No, you know, no shade to that guy. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he knew what to do with me. But by having a bad mentor, actually made me a good mentor to the young people that I mentor now.
Yeah.
Because I know not to do all those things that he didn't do. Because he was like, yeah, you know, I'll be a mentor. But then it was like, we just didn't have much in common and stuff like that. Like, granted, like, he would take me to hip hop concerts, but he would drop me off. So he'd buy me tickets. He'd buy me a ticket. And then I'd just be rocking.
You by yourself?
By myself. So, like, you name early 90s hip-hop groups, I probably saw them all in concert, but I went by myself.
Mm.
And he would pick me up, you know? So, like, I appreciated it. And I'm, you know, as a, you know, a child of hip-hop, like, being able to see those really great groups back in the day, that was great. But I had nobody to share it with, you know? So, like, with the mentees that I have now, I make sure that there's some type of experience we can share together.
And I appreciate that energy because I had like a really, I had a complicated ass childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, like I'm a chocolate girl from the projects. I lived in the projects my entire life.
Yep.
And instead of being angry and putting that energy out, I was like, okay, what do I wish that I had?
Yep.
You know, let me become what I wish that I had. Like, you know, let me take this, okay, what am I missing, and be that for other people. You know what I'm trying to say? So I'm glad that you had that energy.
Yeah. I mean, well, but everything that I've created thus far, I created out of not having. You know, so it, because some people are like, oh, where do you get your inspiration from? Da, 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 da. Yeah, it's out of not having. So, like, you know, when I was on my money train shit, right out of college, it's because I didn't really have a lot of money. You know, that was it. You know, like, it. I don't have, when I talk about inspiration sometimes, it's like, I don't have these, like, really great, beautiful stories about how I get inspired to do stuff. Oh, I was on the south of France. And, you know, I was in my Corvette.
And a bird was chirping
wind
in the west.
Was, or, you know, you know, a pigeon farted on me. You know, like, it ain't that deep. It's more out of nothing. It's out of just not having certain things. So, like, for instance, when you and I were brought together for the truth event, it was because there was no voice for my sisters.
And I appreciated that.
That's it. Not that complicated.
I appreciated that event because I was going through something at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be, you know, to listen to Kai and Miriam, and I have a huge, like, I fangirl over her. I think she's so fucking
Which
amazing.
One?
Miriam.
Miriam.
Oh, my God.
Miriam, like, you got to go back on the podcast.
Oh, my God. I listened to her episode, girl. Let's go to brunch. Like, I get paid on the 15th and 31st. Let's go to the brunch, please. But no, like, but being in that energy was so
Miriam's
inspiring.
Great. She is great.
So inspiring.
Kai's great. Too.
They're both
great, but yeah, I had to do something, you know. I had to do that because, like, I, you know, there are situations. I mean, you know, Miriam's flourishing, Kai's flourishing
right now.
Kai's about to go to Cannes, to go to the south of France next month. She got into this program, so hopefully she'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, yeah, that's how I come up with stuff. I just come up with stuff out of stuff that I don't have. It's it's not this,
and
you know,
I thank you for that.
Mystical, like, type shit. Like, it's mostly like, what don't I have? Or what doesn't my community have? You know,
you
my
go.
Community doesn't have representation.
There
so
you
I, how about I change that? However I can.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do. Was there a specific situation? Well, I think you already explained this, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into this, especially after this first one that you did in March, right?
Yeah.
The Dear Black Women. Was there a moment during that first session when you were like, you were already thinking about the second time, like the next one you're gonna do? Was there a moment in there where you're like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. This was a good idea. Maybe you were giving yourself some appreciation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two moments, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we were discussing, and one woman I knew her, I went to high school with her, mm-hmm. and she just cried, and she mm-hmm. was like, "I'm the weird one in my family, mm-hmm. like I'm the person that people push in the corner," and everyone was like, "Well, you're so beautiful, and we love you," and in that moment, I was mm-hmm. like, "This is why I'm doing this.
Yeah,
like this is why this is important. Like this girl, literally, like this woman, she was so vulnerable. She said, my family." Discards my emotion. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she said that, she was hit with a wave of love mm-hmm. from everybody else in the room. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Black Jesus. Like, this is what I'm trying to do.
Chocolate Jesus is the best.
And then the second moment, my mom came in. Mm-hmm. And the look on her face, and she was just like hugging everybody because my mother's really emotional. And she looked at me, and I felt that when she said it. She was like, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. And my mother is a huge motivating force for me because mm-hmm. if I can help anybody heal, I want my mother to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So to get her in that room and for her to be like, I'm proud that you're doing this mm-hmm. and keep doing this, I'm like, one day. Mm-hmm. She gonna be a part of this healing circle.
Okay.
And, you know, I've done what I had to mm-hmm. do. Because sometimes it's not just about just healing people around you. It's about healing, going back to your family, going back to your parents, your grandparents.
Yeah, I mean, that's the root. I mean, those are the first people to love you. So you kind of have to go back to the essence.
Yeah.
And speaking of the essence, what steps did you take before you launched that first one? What was like the ideation phase of like, you know, what do you talk about? The thing with the hat, mm-hmm. like all of that. Like, how did you like mentally prepare yourself for that?
I think I meditated and I was like, okay, God, mm-hmm. okay, y'all, like purify my intentions because again, this is not about me.
Yeah.
What can I do to make this event as pure as possible? And I checked into my village is full of strong Black women. I mm-hmm. asked them, what would you want if you were invited to a safe space?
Yeah.
And they were like, I just want to be heard. I was like, heard you.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to say shit. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to introduce myself, say my piece, but I want that vulnerability to run the event. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, cool. So in the beginning, before we get to that, I know that, you know, we as like Black people, it's hard to, you know, get your emotions out there. So I was like, so how can I move the room? Mm-hmm. So I reached out to like some dope ass Black women poets mm-hmm. who had strong pieces. And I was like, come here, make these people cry. Mm-hmm. Make these people cry.
Well, because as you know, we are such a guarded people.
Exactly.
Because unfortunately, society has made us super jaded.
Exactly.
And in New York, we're more jaded than we're just fucking jaded. But it's very hard for people mm-hmm. to open up because like showing emotion is almost a sign of weakness.
And it shouldn't be, because it's such a sign of strength.
It's such a sign of strength. And mm-hmm. the crazy part is that it's viewed as weakness, unfortunately, in our communities.
Agreed.
But I think one thing that we don't understand the difference between men and women is that it's viewed as weakness on both sides. Because sometimes men, we think, oh, if I show my emotions, I'm a punk or I'm weak.
Yeah.
But then, you know, on the women's side, it's like, oh, well, if I show my emotions, that's the stereotype. They think I'm emotional.
And that's
so the stereotypes like hold us back.
And even for Black women, because mm-hmm. Black women, we don't have a chance to put that mask down.
Nope.
Like, I always got to be on.
Yep.
Like, the only time where I'm just like, okay, I don't care if I could wipe off these brows and just be Imani is with mm-hmm. my therapist.
Yep.
And that's the only time I'm my authentic self, because mm-hmm. as a Black woman, you cannot take a break.
Nope.
Like, if you're in, like, your workplace, you can't show too much emotion because people gonna think that you're angry, you're aggressive. So you have to smile and not say too much. When you out with your, you know, your family, you have to carry that on your back.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be strong. You have to get shit done. There's no time for crying.
Yep.
Like, with your men, you gotta hold them down and support them.
Yep.
So Black women don't really have a moment to say, look, I'm tired.
We don't have a moment to be vulnerable.
Like, let me just chill for a second. Yep. Can I breathe?
Yep. Take this belt off.
Like, take this wig cap off. Like, can I just breathe?
Nope.
So, you know, with that, like, I was like, I just want vulnerability to lead this event. So I had these women perform these pieces, and mm-hmm. they did, and I knew it because their stories were so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the conversation started, women were ready to talk.
Nice. If you could pick a song or a movie that chronicles your life right now, what would
it be? A song or a movie?
Yeah.
I would say Crooklyn.
Whoa.
Only
Master Ace?
I would only say because, you know that scene with Spike Lee and swinging, well, the little boy swinging around the cat?
Yeah.
I'm that cat. Okay. And I'm really honest about that. Like, my life is a hot mess. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think Kirkland, because I'm from Brooklyn, I'm all from right. the hood, you know, I had a lot of, like, craziness in my family. Mm-hmm. So just the essence of that movie describes, like, my life and, you know, the beauty of being Black and mm-hmm. beauty of finding myself and, mm-hmm. you know.
How do you incorporate your Brooklyn-ness into what you do? Because if you was an uptown girl, you're a Queens girl, you know, a Staten Island girl, Long Island girl, you know, it would be different because you would have grown up different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you incorporate that into what you do? Because I'm sure your events probably attract women from all boroughs.
Mm-hmm. I let my project show. Mm-hmm. So that was like a running joke between like me and my friend when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Like anytime I would get like this, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, for real.
But you're not hearing me.
Like, you're not hearing me. Like, dead ass though. Like, where's my mom's? Like, that was your linear project show. Like, yep. You were just like, okay, here I am. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to these women, I'm like, don't get it twisted. Just because I'm here trying to have this space, I'm trying to heal with you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be nobody life coach. I'm not trying to do none of that shit because I'm a hot fucking mess. Like, my deck of cards, it's probably got an Uno card in there. There's a dusty lifesaver. Like, I'm a hot mess. I'm trying to figure it out. But I'm here with you. And I think growing up in that environment where it was just so raw, mm-hmm. I can bring that to the table. Like, I ain't gonna nod.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
Yeah. So. But I think by being that honest and that truthful, that sets an example to other people. And that's important because a lot of time, and you know this, I mean, this is nothing new to you, but a lot of time, a lot of these motherfuckers are walking around with their representative mask on. You know, and it's like, no. And we can see through that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they think it's cute or they think that it's going to open opportunities for them. And it's just like, no, it's not. And if it does, it's not a real opportunity.
Agreed.
Because you're going to be taken advantage of.
And that's a role that you're going to be stuck in.
Yeah. Because you don't want to be known as that guy or that girl, right? You don't want to be known as Mr. or Mrs. Representative all the time. So it's like, so what are you really about? And then, you know, you kind of pull a Ben Carson, you know. And it's just like, okay, so you were never about shit.
Let me tell you, like, I try to live my life mm-hmm. as open as possible, and I'm still, like, working on some other parts, but I'm like, if I overhear someone talking shit about me, yep. I'm like, I had on a red shirt. Like, that's how like, open.
Get it right.
Like, if spell you gonna say right. shit, say it. But I'm just like, this is who I am. Like, I don't get no points trying to put on a facade. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a mess. I'm trying to get this shit together, but that's okay.
And I'm just like you.
I'm just like you.
Trying to get my shit together.
And I think when people realize, like, when you live in your own truth, can't nobody write your story for you.
Nope.
And that's power that you're giving yourself back.
Yep.
Like, I don't have to impress you because I'm telling you what my story is. I'm telling you what my truth is.
Yeah.
You can't define if I already defined it for you.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like that last freestyling 8 Mile. He's like, you know, tell them something they don't know about me. You know? It's that.
You say 8 Mile.
Yeah, I said 8 Mile. I'm old, I guess.
It's okay, no.
Bridget Building, go rabbit. No. So these healing circles, mm-hmm. as you call them, right? Mm-hmm. How important is it for you to have representation of just like all these different types of women that have been through these different things? Like, I want to understand, actually, let me rephrase the question. How do the circles work? So you pull the name out of the hat or the bag or the box, mm-hmm. I don't know.
The box.
Okay.
It's all right. That's something good.
That holds something. But, like, where do you, let's say worst case scenario, like, the conversation goes left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do?
I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. So I have guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into the space,
that's actually more the question. Like, what are your guidelines?
We get into the space and I ask my sisters, I'm like, if you agree, say yes, sis. And it's really just like recognizing that your experience is your experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even though another sister in here might not have that, that doesn't invalidate hers. Mm-hmm. So, and I tell people, use I language. So don't say, you know, because, you know, all men, no, or y'all, I, because these are your feelings. This is your story.
I language.
It's kind of like holding people accountable to their own experiences and also letting them know, like, even though another, you and another sister have two different narratives, y'all's are both important. So I try to set that up first.
Okay.
And then when we have that conversation, it's like, okay, so now you know how to phrase things. Now you know how to respect it. If you don't relate to this, you don't have to jump up and say something. You know, this is the sister trying to get her truth out. This is her trying to get out her healing and not to block that.
Okay.
You know. Luckily, I haven't had, knock on wood, I haven't had that experience, but it's just so much love.
So... I mean, you've been doing these, but I'm sure you've been to something maybe similar like this before. Have you ever been to anything similar?
I haven't.
Okay.
I have not. I've been to a few where it was like men and women, and then it became a like debate, and that's something that I didn't want to.
Yeah, break down to me like the issues you may have seen in like attending stuff like this, and like what you thought was missing.
To me, when I've been in certain like situations like this, and it's like, you know, black women, black women, and it's just like talking about the experience, it turns into who got whipped more by Massa, and it's just kind of like,
it's like
black women got it worse. No, black men got it worse. I'm like, we all was on the field, like
at least we were.
Like, I mean, come on, like we all got the same cotton burlap sap that we got of stuff. But it really just became into it turned into a pissing contest.
Yep.
Instead of actually healing and hearing one another. And I'm very direct, even on my invitations. I'm like, this event is designed for black women. You know, and it's not to be rude to anyone outside of that, but it's really to say, this is not a teaching moment for nobody. Like, when you are a minority, when you're an other, your life is constantly teaching people what it means to exist as you are.
Yeah.
And I don't want that for these women. I want them to come here and put shit down.
Yeah.
Like, come here and talk about it. And I think that there are events that I'm going to have where black men are involved. But right now, sometimes you need to air your stuff out so raw before you bring it to the larger group.
Yeah, you have to take care of your own house first.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
I think sometimes that's the mistake some people make when they have ideas like this is that they're such in a rush to get out the starting gates, and it's just like, but have you fixed your own shit first?
Very true.
You can't help nobody if you can't help yourself.
Very true.
You know, and that's a big mistake, because when you haven't helped yourself, and then you're so busy trying to help others, you're not really truly helping them. Sometimes you could evenly be hurting them.
Very true.
Because you don't know what the solutions are for your goddamn
self. Very true.
So, like, that's something that I really advise people on at first. It's like, you know what? If you got this dope-ass idea, like, great, embrace it. But make sure that your house is in fucking order.
Hello.
You know?
Hello, you can't bring people over with roaches. Like,
you can't bring people over with roaches. You can't bring people over. You got these dirty towels in the bathroom. You know, fresh towels, fresh toilet paper. Make sure you got everything. Don't be asking somebody like, hey, could you bring me today's newspaper? Ran out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
You know, like, nah, your shit needs to be together.
Make sure you got Kool-Aid and sugar.
Yeah, everything, right? So the next question I have for you is, as someone, especially since you just started this, right?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there's sisters of all ages, you know, all sizes, complexions, everything, right? Out there that maybe are thinking about something like this, right?
Okay.
But they're stuck on the sideline, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do they make that move?
Okay, one, call me, because I travel. Again, trying to bust near you, girl.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, I've been racing against my anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a buffer period between a great idea and when, you know, your anxiety comes in and says, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
During that period where I'm like, this is great, I'm booking spaces.
Nice.
I'm reaching out to people. I'm saying, yo, I wanted to do this event. Can you hook me with a caterer? Mm-hmm. By the time my anxiety is like, hey, girl, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I already got a confirmation. Somebody hit me back up. Like, I'm too deep into it. Like, for the gallery event that I'm doing that's showcasing, like, all the artwork, you know, so old to black women,
mm-hmm.
it's in November, but I booked my space in January.
like a boss.
And the guy was like, when is your event? And I'm like, November. He's like, why are you booking it so early? So, because if I don't do this, me and you going to be looking at each other listening to say Erykah Badu all night. So somebody going to be in this room. So it's really just trust that moment. When you think that it's a good idea, like trust your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Act on it like in that moment. Yeah. Even if you can't like afford to book a space, hit someone up with that idea that you know is going to push you further.
Yeah.
So when that anxiety comes in, you already took a step forward.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. And also, put it on paper.
Put it on paper.
Because that's how you hold yourself responsible and accountable, as you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Not on your phone. And like, physically write it on paper and manifest it to be true. That's how it fucking happens.
Very true.
You know, like, I there's stuff that, you know, I've been working on since last year that, you know, I'm going to do in October.
Mm.
You know, but, you know, when it came about, when the opportunity came about, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to put it down as soon as you ask me. It's a year from now, but I'm there for it because my calendar does get booked up. And there's times that I forget.
Yeah. It's okay.
That I got something to do. But, like, if it's something that you truly want and that you want to do, like I said before, I think it's about breathing it into the universe.
You have to. Throw it at the universe.
Yeah, and just like, and also know that, you know what? You put it on paper, so you now owe it to the universe.
You owe it to the universe.
So, like, you know, I know come, like, October, you're going to be busy hell. September, you know.
Let me say next month.
yeah, next month. But, like, leading all the way up to November, you're gonna know that you have a debt to owe to the universe and to yourself.
But what I will say, if you're going to throw something out to the universe, like, you have to be prepared to catch it when it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I reached out to you the first time we met, like, I had just lost my job.
Yeah,
I was stressed. I didn't know what was going on in my life.
Yep.
And that's because I threw that out to the universe. Like, I was leading a meditation at my old job, and I do, like, these affirmations. And I was like, God, I want to be working at a job paying X amount of money. I don't know if you want to catch that, but, you know, if it land on a star, I'll take it, Jesus.
Yep.
But I was saying I want to be somewhere where I'm respected, where I'm happy. And that same week, I got fired. And then I ended up getting a new job 2 months later, and I'm doing what I love, making that much that I asked for. And I'm actually really happy and respected. So I say that to say, when you throw something out in the universe, that catch may not be direct. Like,
no.
It may be, like, you may think you're going to get a baseball, you get a whole brick. Like,
You got to remember, you're throwing into the dark. You're not throwing it on a sunny day.
Exactly.
You know, so this motherfucker's like, hey, I got it. No, it's just like,
facts, like, you facing this way and the shit hit you in the back of your head.
Like, I thought it was a ball, not like, a boomerang. Yeah.
So whatever you put in the universe, you have to make sure that's really what you want.
Yeah.
So you know, you want for yourself. So anyone that wants to create, like, these spaces for the community, have that passion and that love for your community, because that's what's going to drive you when the universe does answer that call.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. What books are you reading right now?
Okay, so I just finished reading Jennifer Lewis's Mother of Black Hollywood.
Okay. Jennifer Lewis is
Let me tell you, if I don't do nothing else in my life, I need to meet Jennifer Lewis. Like, she is amazing. That book is such an amazing book.
I didn't even know she had a book.
It's an autobiography, and it's such amazing. She talks about, like, her battle with bipolar disorder and, like, sex addiction, and just, like, her life.
Wow.
And it's just such an amazing book.
Jennifer Lewis book. Jennifer Lewis book, people. Shout out to Jennifer Lewis.
Auntie Lewis. Auntie Jen.
On Blackish.
Auntie Jen.
I don't know what the day it comes on. I always catch it on DVR. But my boy directed 2 episodes.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. What podcasts are you listening to?
I am not listening to any podcasts.
Except for Henny with Kenny, because that's the truth in these streets.
Yes, yes.
That's totally fine. Because some people say, I'm not reading anything, I listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one or the other. Some people do both.
Okay.
When was the last time you taught somebody something, and what was it?
My roommate, he's just living out on his own for the first time, so I taught him how to make spaghetti. And my baby was so proud. Like, it was plus is a little hard. So I was in my spaghetti. It was lit too. So
okay.
Yeah, we used seasoning, so it was that ground beef was lit.
All right. Hey, I mean, I feel the reason why I ask that question is because I think sometimes we forget how much we give.
Mm.
And even though it's just teaching him how to make a meal, but that's a skill he didn't have until he knew you.
Yeah.
So that good for you. Good for you. And yeah, whip up that spaghetti, son. Do you ever feel like people misinterpret what you're doing with these circles?
I was hoping you said this. Jesus. So the event that I'm doing in Baltimore, I went out there 2 weekends ago to view the space.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at this African-American museum. And this black guy was with this group of black little boys, you know, talk like encouraging. I'm like, yeah, this is dope. So me and my homegirl are plugging up our phones to charge. The kids leave. He comes over to us and he sees my button. And he's like, what group are you a part of? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not a part of a group. Like, this is my own button.
He's like, nigga, what sent you, Clay?
Like, excuse me?
What sent you, Clay?
Like, it's not my hood. I was like, wait a minute. Like, but, yeah, so then, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, I'm out here looking for a space for an event that I'm doing. And he's like, what type of event? I'm like, it's a safe space discussion for black women. This man is like, what about the men? And my homegirl is like, no, we coming for you. Like, in a way, like, we're having events. And he's like, what you mean you coming for us? See, that's the problem. Like, and he just goes into this whole spiel, literally for 30 minutes, about how the black men have it worse. And I'm like, but you're still a man. Like, I have, like, you're still a man. Like, and he's like, no. And I was like, black women are sexualized and things like that. And at some point, I'm actually trying to, like, go back and forth with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, but black men are sexualized, Mandingo. He just goes into this whole spiel. Then he talks about Jesus and talks about how he just feels that I got a lot going on. And then he ends with, you know, I just don't want you to be leading these events in anger. And mind you, I let this man talk. My eyebrows were straight. Like, I didn't, they weren't milli rocking. Like, I was on my best facial behavior. And he assumed that I was angry because I was not including men. And he didn't understand what I was saying. Like, women, sometimes you just need the space to be honest with your peers. And he didn't understand that. And it was just like, again, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, I'm not speaking for all men, but I'm speaking for men that I know. Sometimes I feel like my brothers, of all different shades, types, colors, preferences, or whatever, we forget that we are men and the position of privilege that we do have, and we talk out of our ass. And it just doesn't make it right. Like, apologizing or try to, you know, stupid facts and all that other stuff, it's like, no. You still don't understand. There's a certain privilege that you have as a man. And because, you know, it's just, you know, men are screwing up society as we have been for a long time. And it's just a matter of take a beat and step out of that.
Agreed.
And realize, especially the disservice society has done to the black woman in particular. And to women of all shades, because the Latinas go through it too. Because you know they're not white, they're not black, they're Latina, so they get it, you know, from different ends. And then there's ways that you know we separate ourselves, black folk. We separate so we used to separate ourselves just due to skin tone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But the same thing happens with our Latino brothers and sisters because they come in many different shades too.
Agreed.
They come as dark as us, you know, but then they come as pale as you know.
Yeah.
Palest of the pale, you know what I mean? So it's like, as men, though, we need to kind of step outside of our position of privilege and just take a beat and listen.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? And it's not like what you're doing is negative. What you're doing is positive.
Yeah.
And that's so, so very important.
Mm-hmm.
The last question I actually have for you is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice that I've ever received. Dang. And I have things that haunt me. I didn't call it advice. I call it things that haunt me.
Yeah.
Because when I hear
like
it, I download it.
Like someone told you.
Yeah, and it's just like, damn. I guess I'll quote my therapist. I'm always quoting her.
It's okay. That's what you get paid
shout
for.
Shout out to Nanika.
Oh, you got a black therapist?
I got a black therapist.
I used to have a black therapist.
Nanika Kaur.
I'm not going to say my therapist's name.
I'm sorry.
Stacy.
Well, my therapist...
I don't have her anymore, but I used to have her, but she was great.
My therapist, and this goes back to self-love, my therapist asked me, and she was like, who do you think that you are? And I'm like, I try to be someone that I wish I had when I was younger. And she was like, but you have to realize you can't practice, you can't become something that you've never saw.
Yeah.
Until you practice that on yourself. And that haunted me. She was like, you have to be your own student in order to give out what you, you know, to be that example for other people. She said, because how do you know if you're doing it right?
Yeah.
And that was like, she was like, how are you supposed to be like trying to be like a support system for other people if you don't even know what it looks like because you haven't done it for yourself? And I was just like,
that's deep.
I was like, okay.
You might have, to give me her card.
I was like, I didn't know this was going to be this type of session, but okay, sis. Yes. So, yeah.
And so I asked you the best piece of advice. That was a great piece of advice. And I just want to wrap this up. But I you, but I'm not wrapping it up yet because I have another question.
Okay.
So, therapy.
Yes.
In particular. I think we talk about therapy on almost every episode. But
yes.
We try not to. But, there's a stigmatism I feel that us of people of color have with going to psychologists or psychotherapists because we don't want to be viewed as crazy.
And then it's also the, you know, what happens in the family stays in the
family. Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, when that happens, you get all these pent up emotions.
Yeah.
Pent up experiences that you can't let out.
Yeah.
How important do you feel, especially in the work that you do, how important do you feel therapy is for black women? Just for black women. I'm not asking for any type of other woman. Just black women in particular.
Black women, in my opinion, we don't have... We're not able to even, we don't have that peace within our mind to hear our own voice because it's so diluted with societal pressures and other people's opinions and just all, it's so distorted in there. And therapy has helped me so fucking much. And it's just like, and I think people need to realize when you see a therapist, you don't have to cry every session.
No, not
it's
at
just
all.
Having that sounding board. Like, this is what's going in my head.
The crying comes when you have that breakthrough.
Exactly. Like every session, you're not crying.
Yep.
But it's like just having someone that you can talk to. And I think if we looked at it like that, like having someone to get you out of your own head, someone that you know that's there to listen. So they're not going to judge you because they're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So even if you can't, if even if you can't say, okay, cool, I know this is going to be my best friend, but I know that they're here to listen to me. I think for us as black women, we carry so much on our shoulders.
Yeah.
And we have to put that down. And therapy can help you realize who you are. Projections of insecurities. Because I know for me, I had to realize, like, this pain that I'm carrying, this is not my pain. Like, this is my daddy pain. This is my grandma pain. Like, I don't know where I got this insecurity from. What the fuck is this? Like, and I was able to sort through everything that I was carrying on my back to say, okay, this is what Imani is really struggling with. So how can I sort through this to become the best version of myself? So it's important. Get you a therapist, please.
Hey, I mean, it ain't cheap.
It's not cheap.
I get it. But there's services out there.
There are services.
That, you know, you don't have to pay for and things of that nature. So, I mean, if you're really serious about, like, working it out, finding someone to help you work it out, just do a little bit of research. The internet's a big place. So you can find services that can help you deal with these feelings. Because it's nothing to be ashamed of. That's the big thing I always try to say. Having a therapist or seeing a therapist is nothing to be ashamed of. You know what I mean?
Being human is nothing to be ashamed of.
Exactly. It's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. So if y'all leave with anything out of this podcast, just remember that it's nothing to be ashamed of. And, you know, attending great, you know, circles of healing. Maybe you don't want to do a therapist. Maybe you want to do, like, one of these healing circles. I think that's incredible, too. So, like, just do that. So before we go. Don't worry about
this. Okay.
So before we go. Tell everyone where they can find you on all the socials and all that stuff.
So I only have Instagram. So you can find me on
Instagram. You know that.
Let me tell you. I be talking shit on Facebook, but that's my private stuff.
Okay.
So on Instagram, you can find me at Stories by Imani. That's Stories by Imani, E-M-A-N-I-E.
It'll all be listed in the podcast.
So just, and again, like any black women that are listening, if you identify with being black, trans, Afro-Latina, if you want these safe spaces in your city, when I tell you I travel, I will come to you. Like, I just want to create like a healing love tour.
If they got the China bus or you'll fly to.
I'll do it. I will do it.
And Imani buys all our plane tickets on Tuesdays because that's the best day to get.
And I don't charge. And all of these events are free.
Wow.
All of these events are free. You get fed. You get love. All of this is out of my pocket.
Wow.
Because I just want to love on my sisters.
Wow. That's incredible. See? And you guys say there's no more black leaders out there. Y'all full of shit, man. You got one right here. She's coming all out of pocket.
And right here, too. Like.
Yeah. Nice shit. You know. But, like, I mean, I commend you on that. But the thing that I personally admire about being self-funded is that you get to do shit your way. Mm. Because as soon as you get sponsors or whatever, whatever, they're like, well, you can't say this and da-da-da-da-da, and you have to do it here.
Okay.
Fuck that. You want to do things your way? Self-finance your own stuff. Yeah, if you got to put away, you know, $100, $200 every other check, whatever, you know, until you get enough to make your thing happen.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's going to be worth it.
But, like, I'm telling you, when you work with sponsors or you're paying for something with somebody else that wants to, like, you know, there's compromises that you have to have. And sometimes those compromises aren't in your best interest.
Let me tell you, I've been eating cereal for dinner happy because I'm like, I'm broke. But I created something that women walked away with. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that the outcome is bigger than the sacrifice. Yeah.
And in time, especially in time, like, you can get sponsors that will still let you do it your way. But, like, it's just, like, the first time you get one, you really have to... Either you put your foot down or they'll kind of try to take over.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's a matter of putting your foot down. Like, due to the fact that I've been in this game for a minute, like, I can say, this is my way or there's no way. You know what I mean? Or, like, I'll consider some of the things you said. And when I say consider, that's like 5 to 10%.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you still need that help sometimes on a financial side. So it's not necessarily selling out, but it's like, yeah, I'm still going to do this my way, but I'll consider, you know, 5 to 10%. But the other 90 is like all me, or 95 is all me. But like, being self-financed is always, that's my advice to anybody. Like, most of my people, present company included, like, we're all self-financed because like, getting sponsors and, you know, all that stuff, sometimes, like, it's just really hard to find a compromise, because sometimes these sponsors really believe in what you're doing, but then they're a little sensitive when you talk about certain things or you're trying to do certain things. So, like, like, well, I'm with you. You know, my male fragile ego can't take that, so I can't give you this money if you're gonna you know, it's going to be all about the woman or whatever the case may be. Then the compromise may be like that brother you bumped into, like, oh, there's no men. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, I'm not going to sponsor you if you're not going to invite any men.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, maybe sponsors that are like women owned businesses or women led organizations, like, that's maybe like the route to go.
I appreciate that, Jim. Thank you.
I got it for days. Thank I'm a fucking OG. No, I'm not.
yes, you are.
But everyone, you all definitely know how to find me, obviously, if you're still watching this, which you're probably not, but you're definitely listening. KENITHACKER, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even Snapchat, even though I am very, 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 very slow on Snapchat because I am over 40. So it's like, I just don't be snapping like that. You know, my young one said, hey, Mr. Thacker, you know, Snapchat's just not for you. You're not 16. But even though when I started my Snapchat, people were like, yo, your Snapchat will be lit. I was like, okay. But then it's just like an extra chore. It's like I try to do Instagram stories at least like once a day, but that's like work too.
I get it.
So it's like, you know what? I got my two queens at home. I got, you know, the missus, and I got, you know, the princess. They keep me busy enough. So I just can't snap.
Okay.
But so that's the end of my sad social media stuff. But I'm heavy on social though.
Is that right? You bought that life.
I'm heavy on Twitter though.
Is that right?
Like, I'll shout out Ben Carson in a minute. Another shout out to you, asshole. So you know, I'm heavy on the Twitter. I think I'm heavy on Twitter than anything else.
Okay.
Because it just lets me voice my opinions about stuff and stuff that's weighing heavy on my. I almost feel like Twitter is almost like my therapist because I can just. Like, eloquently, sometimes with typos, keeping it real, just like voice how I'm feeling and talk about the injustices I see, or sometimes the injustices that have been done to me that day.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I just air people out, not by name, but I air them out.
Okay.
And sometimes they catch wind of it anyway. Then I'm like, well, because you played yourself. And you played yourself against the wrong dude. So that's how that goes. But Sister Imani, I cannot thank you enough for being on Toasting with me.
We're
vibing. We had our own little, like, point-to-point healing circle.
It
was like
that.
The healing line.
I received it.
You know, it's so very important to like have these, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one thing I always say, and Sin can admit to this, Cynthia, when she's on the show, the great thing about having a podcast is that I get you all to myself like an hour.
Okay.
You know, because like other than that, like it's some event.
Yeah.
You know, so don't get me wrong. I love everyone comes to my fucking events. And somewhere up here, my gears are kind of grinding right now.
Okay.
And I think the truth part two needs to happen.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I got to talk to Gary
and
figure it out, you know, like we do a truth part two during the summer.
It was such a powerful event.
We need that. There's a lot of strong young sisters like looking to come into the advertising game.
Yeah.
But as much as they want to come in, I want them to know the truth.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think the only way to do it is maybe do a part two. So Gary, if you're listening or if you're watch this later, I think we need a part two.
Part two.
Because I mean, obviously we didn't resolve everything in one night.
Yeah.
Far from it.
Yeah.
But
the conversation was started.
I think, you know, we need to make this summer a little hot. You know what I mean? We made the winter hot, so the summer is the next challenge. So
do it.
I just put it into the universe.
Yes. Yes, it's gonna come back.
And
you watch the back of your head. It might hit different.
And y'all know when I put something out there, it happens 10 out of 10 times. So
good.
The truth part two, I'm not giving y'all a date because you're gonna hear this podcast in probably about 3 weeks. But the truth part two will be happening sometime this summer
because
I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
That's it. Henny with Kenny.
Imani
White.
Heard. Thank you.
Y'all know what it is. Stories by Imani.
Yes.
Follow it.
Dear Black Women.
We out of here. And Ben Carson.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Basta. We out.